Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello there. This is Bob Barber, your host here on SATTT Radio, Sekem Tech Tribe. Tonight we have a pre-recorded law class for tribal courts by the instructor, Judge Naidu, entitled Latin Maxims Contracts 3. This is the third in series on that particular subject. Does anyone have any particular questions or comments or suggestions? Please press 1. Wait a couple of seconds here for others to come in. Then we'll begin the audio. All right, since there's no questions, I'll go ahead and begin the class.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Okay, let's dive into the word of the day. It made my day long time ago when I came across this word. Ergotocracy. Not demon crazy or democracy. Ergotocracy. Government controlled by the workers. Ain't that powerful?
Yeah.
Why must we have a democracy which is governed by the politicians, for the politicians, of the politicians? Huh? They don't teach you this in law school. They don't even teach you this in political science. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, well, now you know. They don't teach you all of this. Because they don't want you to know. Know, meaning knowledge. Knowledge will bring you understanding. Understanding will motivate you to take action. They don't want you to take action. They want you dumbed down. But Knowledge Village, all the windows, doors, rooftops, they're all open. We teach you everything. So let's work towards an ergotocracy. And by the way, I'm sending you a copy of a file called an appeal to the people of America. Make sure all of you can see it, receive it, download it, email it to hundreds and thousands of people. We need to tell people not just what's happening. Everybody knows what's happening. We got to fix it. And the beauty is, in every economy, you know, from Timbuktu to Finland to Adelaide, Australia, to Fiji, all over the world, there are four pillars to the economy. That's land, labor, capital, entrepreneurship. These are the four must-have pillars to hold up and sustain and maintain and retain and obtain and contain an economy. Stay with me. You remove one of the pillars, the entire economy is in utter paralysis. Now think for a while, people. If labor is denied government, we shut down the government. And what happens next? Ergotocracy. Is there any ergotocracy out there now? No. Because less than a million people control 50 to 100 million people. It's called the Stockholm Syndrome. I love being captured. I love my captor. I love that they build me roads and schools and shopping malls. I love it that they tax me I love it that they give me free medical, dental, mental. I love it when they sell me poisonous food cheap to keep the medical industry and the pharmaceutical industry going. I love it when I've got to pay the tax. So there is no egotocracy out there. But America, being the largest consumer of products and processes and commodities, America can provide the answer with an egotocracy. By the way, the word egotocracy comes from Greek. The Greek word for workman is ergates, E-R-G-A-T-E-S. At one time in Greece, they did have an ergotocracy, but they decided, you know what, I'm busy digging a ditch. I'm busy being plastering cement or mortar onto a wall. I got this guy, he's an educated man. Let's send him to the council. This is how you had the Grecian senators and Grecian philosophers and Grecian thinkers and sophists. So the working class created this situation. Hey, I'm busy tilling the field. I'm busy, you know, doing this and doing that. But let's send somebody to talk on my behalf. Not to think on my behalf, to talk on my behalf and to express my expectations to the Council of Elders, to the Council of Technocrats. But that went sideways when they said, this is power. Let's get power. And now, with that word, let's go into today's study, an introduction to jurisprudence. Now, what is the meaning of jurisprudence? Let's first of all define it, IDEA. Identify it, define it, examine, evaluate, and then apply the action. IDEA. Jurisprudence literally means the theory or philosophy of law. Okay? Now, law, when you look at law, it has two known functions. Is it designed as a coercive power, or is it defined to protect the people? You can't have both. You can only have one. In America, you have both. Like oil and water doesn't coagulate in one matrix. The law was designed under the principles of natural justice to protect you, not to give power to the government. To protect you, the people, you give consent to be governed. That is why the preamble says, we the people ordain and establish this constitution. So we, the people, gave the power to the government. And in so doing, we just about put our head into the noose or put our head into the guillotine scaffold. Now, before we go into what jurisprudence means today in America, let's look at the concept, the principles, and the rules of natural justice. Now, natural justice doesn't come from any legislature, doesn't come from any philosopher. Natural justice comes from God. Natural justice comes from the Word of God. Natural justice comes from the Scriptures. And there are two main principles of natural justice. I'm going to type it out in this column. what do you call that?
The tribal law sky proof.
Yeah, Nemo Yude Koswa in Swa. Can you see that, everybody?
Okay. Yes.
Nemo Jude Yude Koswa in Swa. That's Latin. It means no man shall be a judge in his own course. Now let's look at this. You make a contract with somebody. Somebody doesn't perform the contract. You get ticked off. You take him to court. Now you have brought in a stranger, meaning the government. Or you sue the government. Who is listening to your case? The government. How is the government listening to the case? You sue the federal government or the state government, and a state court or a federal court listens to the case, right? Stay with me. Are you with me?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, how come the government is listening to your case? Where's the third party, the neutral party? And they say, oh, no, we have an independent judiciary. Really? Well, let's look at the word independent judiciary. Independent judiciary means it's beyond the control of the executive or the legislature. Okay? Independent judiciary means, oh, we don't bow to the president of the United States. We don't bow to the governor of a state. Well, that's horse excrement. What is the definition of a federal judge? A lawyer who once knew a governor. So the governor whispers into the ear of the president. That's how you become a federal judge. You don't bow to the wishes of the governor? The governor put you there.
Too much of an echo, Ray.
The governor made you a federal judge. You're not going to listen to the governor? Oh, no, governor, since you made me a judge, you know, I believe in the independence of the judiciary. That fella is a politician, the governor. He's going to find a way to have you impeached or removed. Now, let's take a state judge. Now, all these judges couldn't make it as lawyers and attorneys in the marketplace of ideas. They were not very good. They couldn't sustain themselves. A state judge, what does he do? He gets all his buddies to vote for him and help him with the campaign contributions. He wins the election. He's not going to listen to his attorney friends? Come on. So what do you mean independence of the judiciary? It means nothing. Nemo Yude in Koswa Swa. No man shall be a judge in his own cause. So you sue the government, you sue the bank because you've been evicted, foreclosed upon. You think the judge is going to be on your side? Out of a million cases thought about, hundreds of thousands of cases filed and one heard and decided upon, i.e., Jesenowski versus Countrywide Home Loans LLC, you may have one win. And then you cite and quote that case in a court of law. You don't have a court of equity. What are your chances? Zilch. So the first principle of natural justice, no man shall be a judge in his own cause. You sue the government for excessive force. Under 42 U.S.C. 1983, under color of law, you think the judge an exception. They will find an exemption to the law and say, no, 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 there is prosecutorial immunity, there is judicial immunity. Really? Then how come they take malpractice insurance?
Mm.
You see the scam they pull on you?
Yeah.
So don't you think it's time we had an agatocracy? Government controlled by the workers? Wow! I would give an arm and a leg for that. And then join a butt-kicking competition with one leg. I'll be very good at it. The second major principle of natural justice. Now, we're still talking about jurisprudence. I just want to give you an introduction to the introduction, because we're going to go very, very deep into this to show you the scam and to show you what we can do to fix the scam. The second principle is audi alteram partum, Latin. Can you all see that? Audi alteram partum.
Yep, got it.
Can you all see that? Audi alteram partum means give the other side an opportunity to be heard. You go there pro se, you think the judge is going to listen to you? He'll say, get yourself counsel. Really? Well, there's nothing there which says you need to bring counsel, because I'm going to send you a file which tells you that you don't need counsel and you can represent yourself pro se. Look at this file. Download that and keep it in case the judge says, oh, you bring counsel. It's downloading. This says you the judge cannot hold you to the same standards as a bar card attorney.
Right.
So when they tell you, bring an attorney, they want you to go into commerce. They want you to get one of their buddies to earn a living, so you can pay his office rent and his house mortgage. Still downloading, pro se. If you don't have it, send me an email. Tom, do we have it on the website, pro se?
I will be putting it on the website as soon as I get it. I have the appeal already up on tribalaw.tk file section.
Well, I've amended it 3 times already.
Okay.
So the latest one I just sent to everybody.
Oh, I just put the latest one up there.
Oh, okay. An appeal to the people of America. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the pro se thing, folks, read it carefully. It's all case law, where federal courts and the Supreme Court have said it's okay to bring your own mouth and to do your own talking. So, audi alteram partum makes absolute sense. Give the other side an opportunity to be heard. Now, opportunity to be heard doesn't mean they just heard you. It means they're listening to you. And then you must keep on saying, Your Honor, please take judicial notice of this fact. Please take judicial notice of this fact. Please take judicial notice of this fact. Because this will be in the transcript. And keep an eye on the typist, the stenographer. Sometimes the judge will give her a Masonic signal and they'll stop typing and they'll put the word unintelligible. They pull all these nasty tricks. And then once in a while, you must turn and ask the clerk, did you get it? Or shall I repeat? Because she'll conveniently put unintelligible. So nobody knows what you really said. So when you go on an appeal situation, there is no record. They fix the record. They manipulate the record. Welcome to America. Okay, pro se is up there, folks. Have a look at it. So these are the two principles of natural justice that is being violated every day in every state, municipal, and federal court. Nemo iure in causa sua, audi alteram partum. Okay, having said that, back to jurisprudence, a theory or philosophy of law. Now, law and jurisprudence can be classified into two major roles. And that is, the first one is, what is? And the second one is, what it ought to be. Our fight in courts of equity, not a court of law, is all about what is the law versus what ought to be the law. Justice Holmes said, the law is what the courts will decide the law to be, and if you can predict what the law is going to be, that is the definition of law. Justice Holmes was a firm believer that judges should apply the law however stupid they are. He didn't believe that you should iron out the wrinkles. Some judges believe they not only must iron out the wrinkles in the fabric of the cloth of the law, but they got to replace the fabric with their own version of the law. Example, Roe versus Wade. They suddenly found a right to privacy. Nowhere to be found in the Constitution. So folks, jurisprudence is based on natural justice. And jurisprudence, if you break it down and go under a microscope to check, you will find the battle between what is the law and what ought to be the law. This is the constant battle. Now, what is the law is what the judge does. His job is to apply the law however unpopular, however illegitimate, excuse me, however absurd the law is. Now, I get a law which is absurd, it's stupid. I'm not going to do anything until the legislature fixes it. Now, you take California Civil Code 2924. 2924 says the fellow who's going to foreclose on you, he need not even evidence a copy of the title. He need not even evidence a copy of the mortgage note. All he does is he gets a piece of paper from the clerk of the court and he sends the sheriff. So all you need to do, go and get a sign off from the clerk of the court. Now, this is what happens if you are in Alaska, Arizona, California, Colorado, Idaho, Maryland, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Mexico, North Carolina, Oregon, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, and the District of Columbia. These are what is known as deed of trust states, non-judicial foreclosure states. Now, I've been proving to the California courts that 2924 is an unconstitutional law, and that's what happened in Glaske versus Bank of America. Now, if it's an unconstitutional law, and these stupid judges took an oath of office with one hand on the Constitution of the state of California or one of these 22 states, the 20 states I just mentioned, how can you give creditor relief based on an unconstitutional law? You swore to uphold the Constitution, Judge, and now you're giving creditor relief. Non-judicial foreclosure sale, it violates due process and equal protection of the laws, the 14th Amendment. What say you, Judge? Oh, well, we don't need to look at the Constitution. The statute is straightforward. Yeah, but the statute is unconstitutional, Judge. Then you trap the judge. Then the judge has to say, well, it's up to the legislature to fix it. Aha! Let the legislature fix it, and then you pass judgment based on the fixed or amended legislation. 2924, California Civil Code 2924 is unconstitutional, Judge. It defies natural justice. It defies what is the law and what ought to be the law. You can't do it, Judge. Are they going to listen to you? Yes, they will listen to you. How will they listen to you? When you arrest the judge under the aegis of a citizen's arrest. Has it ever happened in America? No. Why hasn't it happened in America? Two reasons. Stockholm syndrome and fear. Bye. Don't fight it. Just continue to be a slave. What's the point of learning the law? You have head knowledge, but there's no action. Head knowledge alone ain't going to help it. What do? They have head knowledge and they have enforcement. What do we do? Head knowledge, no enforcement. Why do you think I keep saying, let's get this police force. Let's get this police force. Let's get this police force. Stupid me, and I'm one of the stupidest idiots there is in this world. I rely on idiots to help me, and nobody does anything. But those idiots cannot be more stupid than me. I rely on people. Stupid me. I should quit this habit. I'm only 68 years old. I will learn one day. I rely on people who cannot be relied on. That's my fault. I take complete responsibility for failure to have a working police force. We've been at it for what? 10 weeks now. We don't even have 20 people signed up. Why? Because people I rely on, they convince me that they can do this and they can do that. And then guess what happens? I got to force feed them. I got to lead them by the hand to go to the washroom. I need to help them take a shower. I need to help them go and go to the toilet. They can't do anything by themselves. They ask the most stupidest of stupid questions. The stupidest thing I ever heard was, oh, people are very new to this. So I said, why don't you go to other people who are awakened and who are aware? People are shell-shocked with the truth. That's one of the most stupidest statements I've ever heard. Shell-shocked. God Almighty. I don't know, folks. I don't know what it will take. But I'm not keeping quiet. I've got some plans. I'm quietly building something up. When I'm ready, then I'll announce it. I'm talking real, real boots on the ground situation. And if you for a minute think I'm relying on the militia and the... See, honey, I bought two guns. See, honey, I shot straight, honey. Look, look. I brought that target practice thing home. Yeah, look, yeah. Second Amendment only is existing in the shooting ranges and the target practice ranges. America is finished. People don't care anymore. But let's press on. Now, why did all this happen? Why did the present, why are we experiencing the present situation? There are three people we need to look at. They're all dead now, by the way. One is William Blackstone. The other one is Jeremy Bentham. The other one is John Austin. Now, let's not talk about Jeremy yet, because I can't stand that fella. Let's talk about Blackstone. Now, Blackstone's books, the commentaries of the laws of England, published between 1765 to 1769, they became the first law book in the American colonies. Okay? Now, William Blackstone believed that the Norman conquerors distorted the old customs. And he believed that Anglo-Saxon law, the ancient common law, has to be restored to its former glory. In other words, he believed in custom, tradition, God-given law, natural justice, the scriptures. He believed in the pre-Norman conquest days. He believed in English common law traditions before 1066, when the Norman conquest took place. All right? And he believed the old customs should and can be applied today and in the future. And he's not wrong, in my opinion. Now let's look at Jeremy Bentham. Jeremy Bentham, he believed in the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people. And the greatest happiness for the greatest number of people can only be accomplished, achieved, and wrought by the supreme command of a sovereign. So this idiot believed in government. And so did John Austin. Now this became the standard in Western legal tradition, that you need government, that you need a supreme commander, the government. They say jump, you're supposed to say how high. You're not supposed to say why. So now comes that immortal question. Is law supposed to be a safeguard, a protection, a security of your rights? Or is it a form of coercion?
Zori, coming back in.
Law has become a form of coercion, which is why I've always said, you disobey the law, you get punished. You obey the law, what reward do you get? Tell me. What was the last time the government sent you a nice letter saying, dear Mr. So-and-so or Miss So-and-so, we have noticed that you have not broken the law in 10 years. They're going to send you $1 million and get you tax exempt. How many of you can claim that? Talk to me.
Zero.
It ain't happening, folks.
Zero.
So, if law is supposed to be a protection, a security, a safeguard, a propagation of your rights, that's not true at all. Law has become a coercive power play. Law has become a form of coercion. Obey or do time. Heck. They can make anything sound like a crime and charge you for a crime. And you know what? I don't blame the government. You allowed the government to be where it is today. You gave the government power. You gave the government unequivocal power to control you. You just did not bother about natural justice. You agreed to be fearful. You agreed to give in. You did not want to fight back. Why? Because there's just one of you and that's it. What is one person going to do? That's true. What is one person going to do? So why do you think I keep telling everybody, do something? Stand up to the government. After all, the Declaration of Independence says, you have the right to amend or abolish the government if it's not doing what it is supposed to do. What is a government supposed to do? The government is not supposed to punish you for disobeying the law. The government has to make a law consistent with the will and aspirations and expectations of the people. When was the last time your congressman or congresswoman came and had a town meeting with any one of you and said, we're going to pass this law, we want feedback. Come on, talk to me. They're not supposed to do that. They can't pass a law just like that. I know in the state of Washington, they used to have town meetings. And about 30 people will come. And that 30 people represent the 1.2 million people in Seattle. And I was one of the most vociferous, vocal advocates of why this law shouldn't come into being. But I'm just one. So they're big deal. I'm a marked man. So what? Big deal. But I couldn't make a difference. Out of 1.2 million people in Seattle, 30 people will turn up. Nobody opens their mouth. They all sit back and wait for me to talk. And they all agree with me. Oh, yeah, yeah. All 30 will agree with me, but not that 8 idiots sitting down there who is the committee that will report to the congressman or the congresswoman.
Judge, what
yes.
you're saying is true for Seattle. Sunday Christians,
yeah.
weekday hypocrites. The only thing they know is how to say yes and no and basically stab everybody that's their friend in the back.
Yeah. Yeah, you from Seattle, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
I know their kind.
Yeah. So this is what is happening in America today. There is absolutely no jurisprudence. You talk about the first element of jurisprudence. They're not willing to listen to you. This is called legal formalism, legal positivism. This is the established tradition of Jeremy Bentham and John Austin. These are the idiots who said maximum happiness for the greatest number of people through a supreme sovereign. Not just a sovereign, supreme sovereign. And everybody said, yes.
We need control. We want to be controlled. We yearn to be controlled. Heck, no control.
Okay. Wow, that's bad. Just when I wanted to be controlled and forced to obey, what a day. Stockholm syndrome, folks. So what have we learned today? We've learned that the principles of natural justice say no man is supposed to be a judge in his own cause and to give the other side an opportunity to be heard, which means they should listen to what we have to say, not just hear some sound coming with words and phrases. They're supposed to listen to us, the judicial notice. But no, 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 no. They don't listen to you. They listen to what they want to listen to. And that is, they want to listen to their paycheck and their pensions and their perks. Because that's coming. What is not going to be coming is natural justice or jurisprudence. Now, I'm going to switch back between jurisprudence and criminal law because every right, immunity, privilege that you are supposed to enjoy, what you ought to enjoy, is not being regarded, revered, respected, and restored. And this is where the theory or philosophy of law comes into, of jurisprudence comes into existence, comes into sharp focus. What is the law and what ought to be the law? What is the law is insufficient. It is terrorism, legal terrorism. It does not afford you any freedom or any liberty. America is supposed to stand for liberty and freedom. At least that's what they tell the whole world. Well, look at the way they treat Native Americans and the people of color. Or the minorities. The minority doesn't do anything except to yell and scream and hold street protests. That ain't enough. Folks, that ain't enough. You have a right to amend or abolish the government. A street protest is not going to cut it. Mass citizens' arrest. Now, you got the attention of the media and you got the attention of the world. When that is going to happen, I hope in my lifetime. I think I'll be alive for another 20, 30 years. I don't know. I may yet see it, but then again, I may not see it. But I'm a pragmatist. I'm not a pessimist or an optimist or an idealist. I'm a pragmatist. I want to see it happen. We have all the tools. We have all the equipment. We have all the institutions. We have all the people. We can even have all the economic power, the banking power, the finance power. I've told you how we can do that. I told you we have the credit union up and running. I told you just get 1 million people to put a couple of bucks a day, a couple of bucks aside, one time, $1, $5, who knows? No more than $5. Get 1 million people. Open up a bank account. Don't give nobody the money. Just put the money there. Send me proof of deposit. I'll multiply it. In fact, this gentleman, Mike Logan, will be more than happy to give me all that information I need to multiply it. I've known him for many, many years. Wonderful human being. I once told him the fact that you're a Mormon, I'm not going to hold it against you because you guys, you know how to handle money. He's a good guy, Mike Logan, one of the best guys for men. Oh, boy. So there we are. What ought to be the law? What is the law? No man shall be a judge in his own cause. Give the other side an opportunity to be heard. And these are the elements of jurisprudence, the elements of the philosophy of theory of law. This is what they don't teach you in law school. This is what is hidden from you. They take the best of the best, the cream of the crop, to work for government, law, finance, and banking. Government, law, finance, and banking. GLFB. That's it. So, there we have it, folks. An introduction to what is the law. What is the dominant tradition, the legal theory of law? Law, the way it is applied today, it is not an independent, it doesn't exist independently. It is controlled by government. It is not controlled by the people. So I pray we will have an egotocracy soon enough, government controlled by the workers. Nearly everybody in America works. So why can't we have an egotocracy? Pass the word around, folks. Pass the word around. You never know. There could be 1 million people waiting for this to happen. Some of you may not have heard of this word before, but that doesn't mean it's not there. It's there. And if you're a... What was the word I taught you last week? Anyone remembers the word?
Illinois.
A searcher for knowledge. A lover of learning. A searcher for knowledge. Philonoist. Philonoist. Every time we meet, I'm going to teach you a new word so that we can go after the bad boys and force them into an 8-to-1 payment for injury. Octoguild, that's the other word. Okay? Next time you You got injured. Don't go and sue the insurance company. Sue the state for issuing a license to the other monkey who hit you. And sue 8-1. They don't tell you that. Octoguilds. I'm thankful I took an education in England where the class lasted 45 minutes and you ran to the library. They'll give you major words and say, go learn. You want to be a lawyer? Learn. If you don't understand, come back to me. I know you'll never make a lawyer. So that's where we researched and researched and formed study groups. Heck, I was a full-time student, 8 hours a day. I worked for 8 hours, studied for 8 hours, slept for 8 hours. Then I wrote an article called The 25th Hour. I wish I had an extra hour. Work, study, play. Work, study, play. Work, study, play. So remember, any one of you has a situation where you've been hit by another vehicle, let's go for Octoguild, 8-1 payment for injury. Not what the stupid adjuster, insurance claims adjuster tells you you're entitled to. Hang him and the horse he rode on. They scam you. I didn't make it up. Google it. Octoguild. 8-1 payment for injury. That's the law. You see what happens when you walk away from jurisprudence? And you go after the rule of law and not the role of justice. 8-1 payment for injury. Octoguild is justice. The law is what the insurance law says, made by politicians who are lawyers because they want to satisfy the definition of democracy. Government of the politicians, by the politicians, for the politicians. Thank you very much. They don't believe in an egotocracy. That's another bumper sticker. Egotocracy, a government controlled by the workers. Are you an egotocrat? Or I am an egotocrat. I'm part of the government controlled by the workers. Imagine how the Polish solidarity movement happened. Imagine the workers took over. 1982-83, Poland, remember that? Solidarity?
Right.
Lech Wałęsa, remember that?
Yes, I do.
Pawlak Pawel, the poet, he became the president.
Excuse me.
It works, people, it works. Heck, look at the Bolshevik Revolution that got rid of the Tsar way back in 1912, led by Vladimir Lenin. Bolsheviks, Workers' Union, Workers' Party. Heck, look at China, where the workers took over. And then the West called it communism. Bad word. And Joseph McCarthy had a field day in the 1950s. Are you a member or have you ever been a sympathizer of the Communist Party? The Red Scare. Mr. President, take down this wall. And now we have perestroika and glasnost and vodka and all of that. It works, folks. It works. All it takes is for people to come together. Look what happened in Hong Kong. The umbrella movement. Millions took to the streets. Look what happened in Malaysia last week. Millions took to the streets dressed in yellow, bursay. Clean it up. We want clean. But it wasn't enough. They have the power of citizen's arrest in Malaysia too. But nobody did anything. Peaceful protest, peaceful march. Ain't enough. So, bumper stickers. I do not have a contract, implied or expressed, with the government. Are you an ergotocrat? I believe in ergotocracy, government controlled by the workers. How about that, million people? I went to Fast Signs, and remember that Washita tribal member thing, Tom, that I sent you?
Yeah.
I think I got 1,000 for $250.
Okay.
So if 250 people come together with $1 a piece, $1 a piece, you can get 1,000 stickers.
Okay.
Go to an outfit called Fast Signs.
Fast Signs?
Most major cities have that. Fast Signs.
Okay.
Yeah? People? Anybody there? How many do we have today?
20.
Okay. 20 people. Do you have Fast Signs in your neck of the woods?
Yep.
Yep. Just collect $1 from 250 people or 500 people. That's it, folks. $1. Come on. Let's make it happen. See, we need to do things, not just acquire information, detail, particulars, knowledge, intel. We need to do something. Are you an ergotocrat? And then give them a website. Wow, I didn't know I could be an ergotocrat.
Wow, that was the pre-recorded law class for tribal courts by Judge Naidu, titled Latin Maxims Contracts 3. Are there any questions? Does anybody have any comments or suggestions? Just press 1. Again, anyone that has questions, comments, suggestions, go ahead and press 1. We can discuss it. If not, I'll just end this episode and come in with another episode tomorrow. Thank you. Have a good night.